One thing would I know, how to get to heaven, how to make it safely to that happy shore. Before I begin today, I want to just send greetings for Brother Dick Ebler, because he had purpose to be here, and he called me and said that Sister Lee was sick, and that was the reason for him being absent from the gathering here. So I send greetings from him. Well, as we contemplate our topic today, we want to think about the spirit of adoption and the adoption. They are kind of like the same, but they're not the same. Right? One is the spirit of adoption is the first fruits of the spirit, right? The first fruits, right? This was the grapes of Eshcol, like the first fruits of the spirit. But we're waiting for the adoption, okay? The spirit of adoption, which is the Holy Spirit indwelling the believer, is contrasted with the spirit of bondage again to fear. So we've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption, right? So we're not the fear that we have a reverential fear towards God, but not a cringing fear drawing back from him, right? So we've not received that kind of a spirit, but we've received the spirit of belonging. We actually have a sense of belonging to the eternal God. We actually have that. You have that in your new creature. You actually sense that we belong to him, right? And that's why we cry, just like a little baby that's just been born cries out for her mother. See, we're crying Abba Father. See, your spirit cries Abba Father. You're not doing that mechanically. We actually do that. We do that because of a sense of dependency. We actually sense our dependency on the unseen God. Now think about this. Is there anything in the seen order, in the natural order, that would have commended these things to you? Is there anything at all in this present evil world, in that which came from the original creation, that would have commended these things to you? See, so that's the fact that you have an affinity with this unseen realm. See, this is evidence that God has begun a good work in you, see? He that has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. I would affirm to you, brethren, that the land of the first fruits is not the land of Canaan. And the grapes of Eshcol are certainly desirable, which we have now, right? But they are not worthy to be compared with the tree of life and the river of life. I'll just tell you now this is a first fruits taste, right? But if not to be, you don't want to settle down with the first fruits. Right? Now we're happy with what God has given us in the present time. We're thankful for what he's given us. But I'll just tell you, you wouldn't want to go through all eternity on the first fruits, right? I'll tell you, that wouldn't be very desirable, right? So we're actually looking for the river of life. We're actually looking for the tree of life. We're looking for the river of life. See, this is what we're actually working towards, right? The tree of life and the river of life, where that this tree that bears fruit every month, right? Every month, all different manner of fruits that are being brought forth, right, from the tree of life. This present evil world, it almost goes without saying, is not worthy to be compared with the world to come. And the life which now is not worthy to be compared with the life that is to come, that this eternal life. See this? Now we have eternal life. We have it. We have it in a first fruit sense. See, you don't want to settle down here with just the first fruit sense. See, the first fruits is intended to give you a longing for the eternal, for what is up ahead, right? So that's. Now here we have our occasional Elims. With their 12 wells and the 70 palm trees, 70 or so, 70. But in between, there are deserts and there's wilderness, brethren, in the time of the first fruits. Anybody think that there's not? Now there's a... But let's just think about that. We do the people of God no favors by misrepresenting this time of sojourning of faith in the present world to be anything other than the way the scriptures represent it. Now let's think about this. In the time of the first fruits, this is the time when the bridegroom has been taken away from us. See, so this is, see, we're actually, so that everybody good with that. See, can the children of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is yet with them? But the days are coming when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then those days they shall fast. See, so now there's a sense in which this time of first fruits is a time of fasting as well. See, it's a time of, it's a time when we actually kind of draw everything together, and we do whatever's necessary to make it through on this, on the provision that God has made. See, so I want to just say a few words, and this was actually provoked this morning as the brethren were talking, but about this matter of passivity. I sense within myself, I sense that there are doctrines and spirits that are afoot in the world that actually make for us a matter of passivity. And by passivity, I mean you just kind of sit around and wait for things to happen. In the child of God, see, not, this is like a spirit that has crept into the church or crept into people's thinking, where you sit around and you're just waiting. You're waiting until some days we have good days, some days we have bad days, and you just kind of wait and you get beat up by the passing of experience. See, but see, this is the time when we've been summoned to warfare. The time of the first fruits is a time of warfare. Everybody good with that? It's a time of warfare. This is not a time for sitting on our lees. This is the provision has been made for warfare and for fighting the good fight of faith, for giving attendance to the things of God. That's what the time of the first fruits is for, right? We're watching and we're waiting. See, and we're looking and we're longing. See, this is what the time of the first fruits is. Passivity or the lack of diligence in the warfare of faith will lead to unnecessarily being cast down. And of course, I can attest to that, and I'm sure that many of you can too. Now, here is the place where the witness of God must be given heed to for self-preservation. That's the time of the first fruits. See, so, because this is also the domain of the lie and of liars, and there are false witnesses arising from every quarter, even sometimes from arising within our own members. See, so we, from within ourselves. Here in the land of the first fruits of the Spirit, we are continually confronted with tears, sorrow, and crying, and death. I'll tell you, we don't want this to go on forever, right? So this is, remember that, that's one of the things that says there shall be no more tears. No more sorrow, see. So, but here, see, even in the time of the first fruits is good, isn't it? The first fruits is very good. But the first fruits are given to enable us to weather this time of storms and of trials and of troubles and sorrows. See, the first fruits are given to enable us to make it through. See, that's what we want to see here. In this time and locality, we go in and out and find pasture. And in going in and out, God is faithful and provides the necessary things for our sustenance. And we thank Him for that. But going in and out for the present time, and certainly is for the present time only, and certainly not associated at all with the world to come. See, this is we don't want to be accustomed to going in and out. I mean, inordinately accustomed. You know what I mean? Going in and out and finding pasture, see, this is not the way it's always going to be. See, there's going to come a time when they shall go no more out. See, they shall go no more out. See, it's not always going to be an in and out affair. See, it's going to be, go no more out. Go no more out. They shall go no more out. No more out. This time of the first fruits is the locality and time where the devil walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, right? This is the time of the first fruits, right? But the first fruits, see, are enable you to withstand the wiles of the devil. See, that's what the first fruits are given for. They enable you to resist him, steadfast in the faith. That's what the first fruits are given to do, right? These, the unsearchable riches of Christ, as Brother Pat ministered to us. See those, as we're given to perceive them and receive them now, see, they are to give grace in order to facilitate this warfare. The warfare of faith. Here the devil must be resisted, being steadfast in the faith. He can be resisted because the Lord Jesus Christ in his death has spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly. Those who have received the spirit of adoption are sometimes called upon to pass through fires and waters. And yet, by the grace of God, they are not overcome by them. See, so this locality is where believing men and women possess the first fruits of the Spirit, but it is also the place where the dragon has gone forth to make war with the woman and the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is the time of the first fruits, right? So we want to see these things side by side. Now, the first fruits will make you successful in the warfare. See, that's what the first fruits will do. That, see, this, the first fruits will enable you to be a victor in the he always causes us to triumph in Christ. Now, triumph means that there is a conflict, right? And triumph thus sometimes means that we're momentarily overcome. You know, Gad, remember, it says of him that a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome in the last. See, sometimes experience is like that. This is the time where there are often seasons of heaviness through manifold temptations. Amen. Is that true? We take Jehudi's penknife and cut those kind of things out of the scriptures. Now, anybody ever taste of heaviness through manifold temptations? How about the trying of your faith? Or the trial of your faith, right? The trial. Anybody's faith here been tried? I mean, tried as silver and gold is tried? Tried in the fire? See, so we can think of that trial of a faith in terms of like daily or weekly trials, or we can think of it as the whole tenure of this present time. See, this is like the trial of our faith. See, this time is when our faith is being tried. Now, you don't want to go on through all eternity with your faith, you know, in this kind of a arrangement where your faith is being tried. We eventually are leading up to the time when faith is going to become sight. That's one of the points. You see what I'm saying? We're looking to this time where faith is going to become sight. It is the time of our being removed from the Savior's visible presence. Now, he assembles with us here as we assemble around the Word of God, sometimes corporately, sometimes individually, sometimes as we come to him in prayer. He actually does draw near to us, and he makes himself manifest. He manifests himself to us, as he said in John chapter 14. But I'll just tell you, those are not, don't want that. This is good, but it's not good enough for all eternity. So you see what I'm saying? These are things, see, it's not, you see, because this is a time of going in and out. In and out. In and out. But see, so the day is coming when they shall go no more out. This is the time and locality where all things are working together for good. To them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, they are working together for good because the Lord Jesus Christ has been exalted of God to bring many sons unto glory. All things are working together for good because they are being worked together for good. See, it's not just happening. It's not something that's just being happening. It's something that God, he's actually working them together for good. See, they work together for good because he is working them together for good. This is the locality where men and women are called upon to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now hear this matter of passivity. See, this is not the time for passivity. This is a time for being a soldier. This is a time for warfare. I'm speaking to myself, brethren, as well as to you. So I sense in my own members that I need this kind of an admonition. See, I sense this spirit of passivity, or this, you know, this. I think there's actually doctrines afoot that promote this kind of passivity, where we actually become disengaged from the warfare. It's like very subtle. It's very subtle in nature, but see now, what we want to exhort one another is to engage, to become engaged in the warfare. I mean, on a regular basis. This is the time and locality for faithful maintenance of allotted stewardships given by the Lord. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful, right? And now here's Brother TJ's text. And now, little children, abide in him. See, this is actually, I just love the way that he says this. Now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. See, that takes care of everything. See, being near to Jesus takes care of everything. See, this actually resolves everything. See, so I don't want to make it too oversimplistic, but see, that really is the way it is. Now, there are the things that characterized the adoption. I would have just, I missed something here about this matter of reckoning. I want to just mention this here. Paul, and this was in our text that Noel read for us, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." So I want to affirm to you, brethren, that this I reckon is not like, well, I reckon. See, it isn't like that word has been commonly corrupted. See, what I reckon here is like we reckon as a captain is dependent upon his compass. And we reckon as a pilot is dependent upon his altimeter. See, we're reckoning upon things on what God has said is absolute reality. See, whether we feel like it or not, there's going to be times when, quite frankly, when you don't feel like it, right? Quite frankly, otherwise there's no sense. Why would we have to live by faith if your experience always bore witness to these heavenly things? If they did, well, then there wouldn't be any need for living by faith, right? So, but I'll just say that the trial of your faith. See, now when these difficult times come, see, this is the trial of your faith. This is the time for engaging in the warfare of faith. See, this is, of course, we don't want to wait until the time, we don't want to sit around and wait. See, this is that matter of passivity. If we wait or sit around and wait until the trial comes, well, we're probably not going to be ready for the trial. See, so here, this is why it's essential for us to always be engaged in the warfare. See, so there's times, you know, even when you're with the brethren, we've always got to be on guard. We're reckoning upon what God has said. The way God has represented things is the way things really are, not the way you feel. I'll just tell you, I wrestle with things like this. I base things on the way I feel a lot of times, and see, that's not right. See, we're to reckon and build upon what God has said, whether you feel that way or not. I mean, whether you feel that way or not is really beside the point. See, if we're reckoning upon what He said, this is the way it is. This is the way it is in absolute reality. The spirit of adoption is certainly good and blessed. However, it is but a foretaste of the coming adoption and not the adoption itself. The spirit of adoption is not the adoption. I'll just tell you, we've got this body still that's waiting to be adopted. Are you satisfied with your body? Are you satisfied? Is your body always Is your body always agreeing with you? You know, just want to step right up and serve the Lord and be rejoicing in hope all the time? Does your body always want to do that? See now, that's why we're waiting for the adoption. See, you know where we have an anchor. See, there's a sense in which the first fruits of the Spirit is a time of being tethered. You ever think about that? But by this chain, see, this the chain that's attached to the anchor. See, the anchor that's cast upward within the veil. See, we're attached to that eternal realm by this anchor. See, but see, we don't want to. That's good for the present time, but it's not good for eternity. You see what I'm saying? We don't want it always to be this way. We're certainly content and thankful and happy for the way that God is, the provision that He's made, but this is only a temporary situation. See, the time of the first fruits. And the time and locality where the spirit of adoption is possessed by Christ's brethren, there are also oppositions, temptations, and feelings. See, I think I got my... Let me get my notes arranged here. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now here, let's bring in this thought of passivity. We wait around and for this to happen. See, it's while we look at the things that are not seen. See, there's this matter of engagement. See, so this is happening while we look at the things that are not seen. So for the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal, right? So this is actually working for us while we look at the things that are not seen. The things that God has testified of that are not seen. This is the time and locality. No, it's the wrong place. Afflictions do indeed work for us, as Paul declared here, but they do so as we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. We are waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Right now we have the Spirit. A spirit that is redeemed, but a body that is not. The situation renders living by faith absolutely essential and makes for a career of trial and testing. This is the very circumstance, right? You have a redeemed spirit, but a body that is waiting for an adoption, right? Now, considering the spirit of adoption and the adoption itself is a study in contrast and comparisons, whatever pertains to one, in some respects at least, has a bearing on the other. In some comparisons, there is simply more of the same. You know, the first fruits of the Spirit is like just a foretaste of the fullness that's to come, right? And in some cases, it's a lesson in contrast, or you like, there shall be no more curse. See, when the adoption has come, so you see what I mean? So there shall be no more death. See, so there are joys that are tasted of here, but there is fullness of joy and joys that are everlasting. There is righteousness that is possessed here in measure by the believer in Christ, but there in the new heavens and the new earth, there is only righteousness. And by the spirit of adoption, we have in measure a sense of belonging to God and to His Son and to the things that are eternal. But in that world, every part of us will belong there, spirit, soul, and body. See, there won't be any contradiction. So, the warfare of faith involves maintaining and holding fast to our identity as the sons of God, holding fast to who we are and whose we are, as Brother John Birch once ministered to us, and where we belong. There they go no more out is an obvious allusion to the words of the Savior where He said of His sheep, they go in and out and find pasture. The devil, the beast, and the false prophet will not be there. Amen. They shall have been cast into the lake of fire. Whosoever worketh abomination and maketh a lie shall not enter into that world, and consequently shall have no defiling influence upon those who have been waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of their body. In the world, all spears of those who have waited for the adoption shall have been beaten into pruning hooks, and all swords into plowshares. All who are accounted worthy to obtain that world shall reign and bask in glory by the man Christ Jesus. In that world there shall only be fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. And that's because the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. See, not just only the throne of God. See, if it were only the throne of God, that would be a cause for drawing back. You know, in the case of Isaiah. Remember in chapter 6 there, where he said he sensed that he was unclean. See, now the throne of God and of the Lamb, see, does not, for those who are present there, it actually emanates forth their righteousness and their partakement of the Father and the Son. See, so it's not a sense of defilement. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God. That's a lesson in contrast there, right? There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. See, so right now we're living in a time of the absence of the visible or the very perceptive presence of the throne of God and the Lamb, right? It's only by faith, right? It's not going to be by faith. It's going to be substantive, right? It's going to be actual. Everyone there is going to be very much aware of the throne of God and of the Lamb, and that's going to dispel the curse. See, just that very awareness is going to make for the curse to be dispelled. The presence of the throne of God and the Lamb shall forever dispel the curse, as we've said. John said, I saw no temple there, for the Lord God and the Lamb are the temple of that city. All defiling things and persons shall have been removed. And consequently, the temple, as we presently think of it, shall have suffered obsolescence. There will be no need for a temple there. See, because there's no defilement in that world, right? So there's no need for separation from defilement. The tree of life and the river of life shall be there and shall be accessible to all who are accounted worthy to obtain that world. As Jesus said in Luke 20:35, those who possess the spirit of adoption are now living by faith, but when the adoption is fully obtained, faith will have turned to sight. Because of the adoption, the redemption of our body, the matter of belonging will be forever something that is, will never be something to be reckoned upon, but forever be settled and basked in without opposition or contradiction. So those are the thoughts that I had. Anybody want to say anything?
Brother? I really enjoy the thought that you had that when you reckon on the things of God, you are stable, depends on a compass. A compass's point is never shifting. It is always on one point in the earth. God's word is never shifting.
Amen.
It is always based on His word and His word alone, so we can always depend on that direction. And when you brought up the anchor, an anchor is a temporary spot for a ship. Mm-hmm. The finality of that voyage is the port. Mm-hmm. And I really like the thought that you brought to my mind about that. You know, right now we're anchored. We've got an anchor in the heavenly realm of hope. And it's just temporary. Mm-hmm. I really like how you brought that out. But our finality is the entering in fully, in the fullness thereof.
Amen. Yes.
I've had the same thoughts as far as the passivity that you brought up. And I was thinking about being a partaker of the first fruit. We're partaking of that which is in heaven. Right? We're partaking of the heavenly gift, the tasting of the good word of God and these things. So there it's an order for us. Like everything you see in heaven is about activity. You know, so it makes sense for us to have partaking of the first fruits to produce activity. It's not to produce a waiting around for things to happen, but energetic and alert and ready to not be lulled asleep by what's going on around us, but to be the ones that are active. I mean, isn't that what it is to be alive unto God?
Amen.
I really appreciate that, and I frankly want to hear more about it.
Yeah, I want to be more like that. So that's Sister Karen.
Admonished us to hold fast the confidence of our faith when we first believed. Mm-hmm. This is a time when we first believed, there is nothing and no one could dissuade you of anything. Mm-hmm. But now we're in a realm of fighting the adversary. We've got all these things that are coming at us from all directions, and it's all his doing. Mm-hmm. But God is faithful.
Amen.
And we want to admonish one another to hold fast that confidence we had when we first believed.
Amen.
Because this is when it was a new and dawning thing.
Amen. The beginning of our confidence.
Yes. We want to hold that fast.
Amen. Brother Larry?
First fruits now, we begin to taste the rest that is in Christ. And he said to his disciples on one occasion when they're so busy that they didn't have time to eat, come away and rest by yourselves for a while or something like that. But then there's going, it's an ongoing rest described, but perhaps in the future we work, but we don't get tired.
Amen. Good. Okay.
About the first fruits.
Amen.
The time of our first fruits. But it's that earnest of the Spirit, that Spirit of adoption is the earnest of what's coming with our guarantee of our adoption.
Amen.
And it makes us look for it and long for it, but we're in this environment of conflict.
Yes.
And we have to overcome, but then we'll enter in and we will be, then we actually, the adoption, we become part of the family. And so we're going to have a body that's fashioned like unto his glorious body. We will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Then we'll get the full family likeness.
Amen. Amen. Sister Barb?
These first fruits are what teach us about what is unshakable, unmovable, and real.
Amen.
Reality. And thinking about what you were saying, that feelings and circumstance can cloud reality.
Mm-hmm.
They can be liars, really.
Mm-hmm.
Your feelings can lie.
Amen.
They're deceitful. And so we want to be able to reason,
yes,
upon the things that don't change, upon the things that, yeah, are not shakable.
Amen.
And then we will also be strong, established.
That's what I wanted to say. And you said it. So. Okay. All right.
I was provoked also by the first fruits, and then you said that the first fruits won't do in the world to come. And that just like blew open this vista of the expanse of the world to come, the never ending, the limitless, always increasing nature of the kingdom and of eternity.
Amen.
And you know, you can't go in this world on, you know, just a little bit of nutrition in a day. Not if you're doing real work. It's just, you know, the work suffers if your nutrition suffers.
That's good.
And you're thinking of just making these comparisons of the, in our present circumstance, the first fruits are abundant. Mm-hmm. They're tremendous. Mm-hmm. But compared to the world to come, they don't do. And that's very provoking, just to think of the increase of his kingdom, there shall be no end.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Brother Mike?
You know, in your ministration about this narrative of the first fruits and all the engagements of the saints in it, be it for good, to be the tasting of the good things of God, but also in the realization that there is a warfare, and that warfare is going to continue while we continue in this present evil world. I was reminded of a time, and we talked about passivity, about backing off of this, and this puts the people of God in a very dangerous position. There was a time, the scripture tells us, when kings went out to war.
Mm-hmm.
And King David didn't go out to war.
Mm-hmm.
That's when he had his encounter.
Yeah, with that's right.
And it was all downhill from there.
That's right. Good point. Well, thank you, brethren.